Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the King. Good to have you. Glory to God. It's good to be here today. We had a great healing school yesterday. We had a lot of people. In fact, we had more people to healing school yesterday than we have in church today. We had a really large group of people. We're grateful. I guess I might start out today. Is there anybody here today that has a testimony that you want to give God the glory and praise? Oh, Bill's got one right down here. Let me get a mic for him. Let's start out right here. He's got something Jesus done for him. Okay.
I'm excited about what the Lord's done. 2 weeks ago on Saturday, one of my Gideon brothers in the Gideon camp after our Gideon meeting indicated that he had a son about 52 years old that had OD'd on crack cocaine. He was unconscious over at the medical center. And this fella is a man that's lived a pretty tough life. And he just could not get rid of this demon that was bringing this stuff on. And we all know that that's what does it.
Amen.
And it's sin that was connected to it. So anyway, I listened to the problem and I said, well, after our event's over, I want to go over there and pray for him. And this man's name is Burt Goodson, and this is Burt Jr. that's in the hospital. So we went over to medical center Saturday morning, and we walked up there into his room, and he's all wired up with everything, and they got a thing making him breathe, you know. And he looked about as bad as you could look for somebody that's barely alive. And the doctors didn't think he'd ever regain consciousness. But our doctor thinks differently.
Amen.
Our doctor, Jesus, knows differently, and I do too, and
amen,
you do too.
Amen.
So I thought, well, here I'm going to jump out in the deep water now on this one. This is going to work. So anyway, it's strange, you know, when you step out like this, you're going back to, where did you hear this? Well, I heard it from a teacher. Which teacher? Well, Thurman Scrivener. That's where I heard it. So anyway, I thought, well, I got to cover all the points here the best I can. It turned out that the nurse was a male nurse, so the nurse came into the room, wouldn't know what we were doing. And I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes. I said, do you mind if we pray then over this man? He said, no. So his dad was there. I got the authority from his dad. I got the authority from the Lord, you know, to repent for this man for what he had done.
Amen.
Because he couldn't, and I could.
Amen.
And I repented for anything I might have done. I wanted a clean slate. And everybody in the room repented. Okay, that opened it up. Then the next thing that occurred to me was that this man is demon-possessed. So I jumped right in, and I started binding up those evil satanic spirits. And, I mean, I covered it from one end to the other the best I could. I mean, I wanted him to leave, and I had my eyes closed all this time. What I didn't know is the father had his eyes open because he's watching his son. Well, his son started jumping all over the bed. You know, so those demons were hearing, and those demons were leaving, and I'm believing that with all my heart.
Amen.
Because when I finished that and then prayed in Matthew 18:19 and some of the other verses we stand on, you know, I believe that right then that we had a miracle, and I was thanking God and praising Him for it. And so, anyway, we left the hospital, and then Saturday morning early, I went to the breakfast again, and I asked Bert how his son was doing. He said, well, about 2 days after you were there, his eyes opened up. He can speak a word or two. His legs still are somewhat paralyzed, and they're going to have to move him. They don't know where, but he is conscious. He did come back to consciousness. He's breathing on his own. So I said, well, I'm going to go pray for him some more. I can't today. I have to go to Abilene, which I did yesterday. But anyway, I'm looking forward to this week. But I would like to have everybody's in agreement prayer with me that when I go, this time we're going to see the miracle finish, the manifestation of it take hold, because I know that it's going to happen because God said it. This man was healed. Those demons are gone. And if there's anything else I'm missing, I sure hope you'll tell me. And I want to praise the Lord.
Amen. We're in agreement with that as a church. In the name of Jesus, we are in total, complete agreement with that mighty miracle. The Lord said if two of us on earth agree about anything, He will do it. Praise the King in Matthew 18:19.
I had a great week.
Praise
it was a great week, and it's all due to the teachings that you teach us on grumbling and complaining.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I want you to know I have taken that one to heart, really much to heart. Anyway, I have been, some of you know that I'm going to be taking a trip to Louisville, Kentucky next month. And so I've been praying to Father that He would tell me if there was anything on my car I needed to get done before I hit the road. So I went to get the oil changed, and they said I had a bad belt. Serpentine belt?
Serpentine belt.
Serpentine belt.
Yeah.
So I took it to my mechanic, and he said, well, you also have this tensor wrong, too. And I said, well, order the part. And he said, it's going to be $400. And I said, I left there just praising the Lord. And I did. And I came back the next day after knowing the parts were there, and I left my car, and he said, well, when the parts arrived today, they were $100 cheaper.
Amen.
Yeah. So I came back in a few hours and picked up my car, and it was another $40 less than what he originally
quoted. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. And then, because I'm a fresh air kind of girl, I had not turned on my air conditioning due to the Lord had given us such a blessed, cool spring. I decided to turn on my air this last week. Didn't work. So I called my guy, and he comes out, $75 to get my air conditioner fixed. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank
no
you, Jesus.
Grumbling on my part.
Hey. Praise the Lord, Rosemary. Glory to God. Praise the King. Praise the King. Praise the King. Glory.
Thank you, Thurman. I have not been able to just lay down and go to sleep at night for 40 years. As a small child, I was very afraid all the time. There were some good reasons for that, but I would just lay in bed off until 4, 5, 6 in the morning, just terrified. And when I would work, a lot of times I'd just go 2 or 3 days just exhausted, and then for some reason I could sleep during the day, so I'd just call in sick and say I hadn't slept in 3, 4 days, so I'd just call and tell them I got a cold or something, and I'd sleep all day, and then I'd be up at night, and I just went that way until I collapsed about 6 years ago. And about 6 or 7 days ago, I started just laying down and going to sleep at night. So I really want to praise God for that.
Amen.
So it's an incredible blessing after 40 years. You know, my 40 years in the wilderness, and, you know, something like that. And I've taken every prescription, you know. And you know, I remember all by name because you put so much faith and hope in them that this drug will fix this problem, and it doesn't, you know. And how could something like that just change overnight if it wasn't the hand of God?
Amen. Praise the God. Lord. Praise the Lord. Great. God's still in the business. Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. I pray for you day and night. So I said, God, this guy has to stick around. We need him.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is a church in the area, very popular church, Ricky Rush. Some of you may know him. He teaches his people so well. They look like him. They talk like him. They act like him. They call his members Ricky's clones. So I said, God, I want to be one of Pastor Thurman's clones.
Praise the Lord.
But praise God, 47 years I suffered with epilepsy, taking tablets every single day. Last March of this year, after I began to listen to Pastor Thurman's teaching in-depthly and believe what the Word says, the light bulb was turned on, and I said, I was healed 2,000 years ago, and I've been listening to the lies of the devil. I have not taken one medication since March the 4th of this year, and I'm seizure-free.
Amen.
No more seizures.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
High blood pressure. That's a curse in my family. My father died of it. My oldest sister died of it. And I told the devil, time out, no more. I have not taken any high blood pressure medicine since March the 4th. And I'm believing God, my sister over there, she's also stepping out in faith, no more high blood pressure medicine. And God is working. Now, I'm telling you, I'm asking God to make me your clown. At work, I started to speak to these people. My supervisor came to me Monday or Tuesday, and she has a nasty rash on her leg, swollen. It's red. She's black, and that thing was red, red. And she said, I'm about to lose my leg. I said, don't you dare speak like that. And right there at my desk, I lay hands on it, and I prayed, and I cursed that thing. I said, confess your sins, and ask God to forgive you of your sins. We're going to drive these demons out. That's all it is, demons. And she did. The following morning, she came to work. She lifted her dress. She said, Ruby, look at that. That thing was almost gone.
Amen.
The following day, it was totally gone.
Amen.
You know?
And, praise the Lord.
This other lady, she has her father in a hospital, in the Methodist hospital here, and he's on his deathbed. They called someone in the family to come and begin to prepare funeral arrangements. So the girl is just weeping daily at work, and they're assigning some of her work to me because she just can't function. So when I learned of it, I went over to her desk, and I said, "Now, what's wrong with your dad?" She said, it's congested heart failure, and his lungs are flooding with fluid. So I said, "Okay, we're going to confess his sins on his behalf until he's able to. You're going to stand in proxy for your daddy." So we confess sins, and so you confess your sins. She said, she's Catholic. I said, "That's all right. Confess your sins," and we prayed. And we rebuke them demons and speak healing, release the healing virtue. The doctors had called the parents, her family, to come and begin to make funeral arrangements for this man. The following day, I went to her and said, "How is your daddy?" She said, "He's home, walking, and he's not supposed to."
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, goodness. Praise the Lord.
The only sad thing about it, I gave her your phone number for the ministry. I said, "Call. I guarantee you'll call this man." That was before we prayed. I guarantee. She took the number to him, and he said, he was upset because he did not want her to tell anybody he's sick. He didn't want anybody to know. And he said, "Well, I prefer to go back to my Catholic church and pray." And something in my spirit started to say to them, "Lord, take back that healing." I had to repent and say, "God, I'm sorry." But anyhow, then lastly, I had a little prayer group going at my workplace. And it was laid on my heart to call this girl to invite her to pray that morning. She came and she said, "Ruby, I just got to my desk. I'm late. I got your email for prayer. I have to come because I'm desperate." And anyhow, we went through a 15-minute prayer. I rededicated her life back to Jesus. "So you're having a problem because you're away from God. Her husband is unsaved." I said, "Okay, God has given you a promise in the Word. Now that you have returned back to God, He said, you and your house shall be saved."
Amen.
"We're going to stand on that for the salvation of your household." The following morning, she came to prayer. She said, "Ruby, you won't believe it. I got an unexpected visitor last night. It's all good." I said, "Okay." Her brother that was in jail for prison for over 2 years was released, turned up at her doorstep, and is a born-again child of God.
Hey.
She said, "Ruby, that's exactly how you pray. God has started to save my family members."
Amen.
You know, we need to begin to take the limit of God. And this study that is going on here, please don't let it go to waste. Utilize it. It's time for us to kick the devil out of our lives.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Wow, I love it. I love it. Don't you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Got another one? Come up here, young lady. Praise the King. Tell us what wonderful things Jesus is doing for you.
Amen. Amen. While we were getting ready this evening to come to church, my daughter started crying and complaining about the lots of pills that she has to be taking, and she was just tired and upset, and I was just encouraging her with the Word and tell her, "The Lord, we are still praying, and the Lord, I'm expecting things to change. The Lord will." And she said, "I don't want to hear anything about this Jesus crap. Jesus don't care about me," and things like that, and went on. Shortly after she said that, she started crying for her ear, a terrible pain in her ear. And so I laid my hands on her and I started praying for her ear. Then we left. On the way in the car coming, this terrible pain in her ear continued. And I said to myself, I prayed for it. Then it dawned on me. I said, I should have her confess first for talking those things about the Lord and this, you know, things like that. So I said, "Andrine, I want you to say after me." I wanted to confess and ask God to forgive you for the things you said about him back home and so on. She said, no, I'm not saying anything. I don't care what I said, she wouldn't. Then I started to pray. I said, you devil binding Andrine and blocking her mind from saying what I'm saying, I bind you now and paralyze you and render you powerless in the name of Jesus. And then I said to her, now Andrine, say after me. And she said it.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And she repented, and she repented, said after me what I told her to say, and she repented. Then shortly after that, I lay hand on her ear now, and I quoted Mark 16, 17, and 18, and I quoted John 14, 13, and 14. Amen. And then I ended by saying, now God, according to your word, it is done. I stand up on your word, I know your word is true, and I decree it done. Now pain be gone in Jesus' name. And immediately after, her pain started easing. She said, feels much better. I said, by the time you reach church, it will be gone. I didn't even reach church. Just like 5 minutes later, she said there was no more pain.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. We got some great testimony. We got Ernest here. He's going to tell us something here. Praise the King. Come up here and tell us what you want to tell us, Ernest.
Mine is about, I'm reporting on what we did for Pastor Thurman. I'm a little bit nervous right now. But he asked us to go with him to make a tape and make some accounts that he did in this church here. What he did was he healed my daughter and my granddaughter and my wife.
Now Jesus did that. Now.
Jesus did okay, that. Yeah. But through him, through this church. And also, I never told him this, that he prayed for this arm right here. I had laid on a mattress, a hard mattress my wife wanted, and I laid on that. And that arm got so sore and aching that I couldn't, everywhere I turned it, when I couldn't, the pain was always there. So I came to Pastor Thurman's, and he prayed for this arm. I never give him that praise, but now I'm giving it to him. That arm didn't get well right then. It just kept getting better and better and better. It finally till the point of where it's only soreness now is that in the tip of those fingers, but I can use this arm.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now, I want to go on about the trip we took. Now, first thing right off the bat, he asked us to go. Now, I didn't know where he was. He was in Justin. So I said, Esther, now what we need to do is we need to go up and find where Justin is. And we're living in Garland. So we goes up there. It's on a Wednesday when he's supposed to take off. Tuesday we went. And we got lost, really. So we came to the pastor's son's
fitness center.
And so we were there. Esther called up and called the pastor. And Sister Cheryl came down. She said, I'm going to send somebody down there. So she sent Cheryl down to pick us up. So when she took us there, I never would have found it. We never would have found it if we went the morning just not to go see where it was. We went there, and we went to where he do all his tapes. It's a wonderful place, folks. You should go there sometime and see all the work that goes on in his place. Got a nice place there, and they do a lot of tapes there. I mean, boxes of stuff, tapes, all kind of equipment. He told me how much it cost, and I was overwhelmed by this thing. And he said, and nobody's giving him anything. He's giving this away. It's a wonderful place. You know, I'm glad I got caught up in this situation with these people. I'm just being frank with you. I've been to a lot of churches, but I'll tell you what, this is one of the best I've ever been. Not only that, let me get back to the trip now. The next morning, I'm getting up at 5 o'clock. Esther said we should get up at 5, so we got up at 5. I'm not good at traveling and learning quick. It takes me at least 2 tries to get it down pretty good. So he said, be at 7:30. Now, we got to be there at 7:30. So we came, we got on 114. We live in Garland, got on 114, 635, 114. So we're driving along, and things looking pretty good. The traffic wasn't so bad. So what happened was, I'm got a little bit comfortable, a little bit too comfortable. So when 121 came in, then 14. So I'm driving there. Before I know it, I'm on 121. And 114 is where I want to go at. So we just take a look around. But God was good. What he did was, is that when we got there, the pastor was a little bit late himself. I don't know what that was. So Cheryl, the other Cheryl, and the other young lady was there. So what we did was, when we everything taken care of, we got in the air. Esther was a little bit dubious about it, and I was a little bit dubious too about a two motor Cessna. The last plane we rode in was I think it was American Airlines jet, big one. So we a little bit dubious about this, but we prayed.
Amen.
So we got up in the air, man. I'm telling you, that little Cessna was just as smooth as silk. I mean, it was smooth as silk. And look at what made me more confident was this, is that here's a guy here and through all kinds of jets and everything else. So that was God was there and the pilot was there, so I knew he knew what he was doing. You see, you know what I'm saying? So we made there in good time. We got to the airport, and the guys come pick us up. We go out to the
TV station.
Nice people out there. I met the owner and his wife. They're nice folk. So we began to, we messed around a little bit there. Now, I can use those words. The pastor said, what we'll do some taping. So he told us how we needed to do, and the cameraman said, do this and that. That's the first in my life, because I never had tape before, a TV camera before. And the next thing, I got a little shaky because he said, this is showing all over the world. You understand me? So I asked him, is my face too greasy? You understand me? I'm nervous, you know. But we went on and we did that, and Esther told about the woman that she had known, and she got healed through the ministry, and she was a woman that was abused slightly. And she told that, and also we told that about the granddaughter and her, and the pastor asked me a few questions too. He said, why were these things coming up on you? She said, I was some of the blame. See, by those things come up on her because I wasn't acting right. sin, if what he said, what he preached about, this, sin brings on sickness. You know, I'd read that, but you know, I never did take it under control. But when he told me about it, next time I read it with a lot of emphasis behind it. And it does. I thought about this morning. I said, everything this fella says, you take your time and you read it, it comes true. And the next thing about it is this here. I learned how to read the Bible all over again. Where I used to read over words, you know, through that. I take my time and go one word after another and look for the meaning of it. If I don't, I get me a concordance and then look for it. Did you know that means a lot? Through this fellow here, I learned to do that. It's been a very, very good inspiration to me. Now then, let's go on to the other festivities. We got through taping. We had to tape two segments, for 30-minute segments. I talked a little bit about myself and I admitted a few things that I did, but it's true. Now then, when we got through taping, then I think what we did was we went to lunch, and we had some sandwiches, which were good. We all had a lot of fun. So by that time, I think Cheryl had her segment too on the tape. This is all good, folks. This is all good. I'm so happy about it. I feel good about it. It's been a big inspiration to me. Now then, when we got through with that, well then, me and Esther and David, and we all went up to the Bible bookstore. And we looked at some Bibles. I bought a Bible. Matter of fact, I bought a Bible. And we stayed there for a while. And we had one of those guys that be there in the studio. He came in. He took us over there and come back and got us. It's a big studio. It's a lot of rooms there. I mean, it's very, very nice. And so we got through with that. When we come back in, but Cheryl began to, and the pastor began to have their segment. I'm sitting there. Well, you know, it's been a long, sort of long. I got up early, so got a little woozy sleepy, I guess. And the devil said, this guy here, I guess the devil said this. This guy here seemed to be sort of weak and might be have less anointing. But I said, I'm gonna hit him. So what he did was, he came on me as like a flesh. What women call it? Hot flesh. He came on me like a hot flesh. And a man is not supposed to have hot flashes, guys. You know that. So this thing was so devastating. I'm sitting there watching Pastor and his wife make this tape, and I had to get up and go out. So I told Lester, I said, I'm sick. So I walked out the door and into the foyer there, a little bit more area. So I got out there, and the young man was there. He put a towel over my face, and so that cooled me off a little bit. But the devil made a big mistake. I had some of the most anointed people with me than ever. Look what he looked at. Now, he picked on me, but I had more anointing in that house than anything. He's done it wrong. I had Esther was there, the two sheriffs were there, and David was there, and the number one, the pastor was there. You understand? I mean, this guy, now why are you going to jump on me? And I got the man that cast out demons and devils and healed, and through God healed folk, and he going to jump on me? I'm in good shape. But I went out there and stayed out there for a while. And when the pastor got through with Cheryl, someone told him about me. And he come out there, laid his hands on me and binded that. Let me tell you something. He bound that devil right there. And then in no time, I'm good. I felt good from then on, and after that, let me tell you what happened. After that, we came back home. I was feeling good all the way through the flight. Good flight. Got home. Went home, and then the next day, I'm still feeling good. It's still feeling good. So on Friday, I even did what better than that. I changed the oil in my car. I cut the yard. I edged the grass. And a lot of more things I did around there. And then after that, I told my son called me. He's a truck driver and over the road. And he said, how you doing, Daddy? I said, I'm okay. I said, well, one thing about it, son, said, I ain't feeling tired. I said, I should be feeling tired, old as I am. You understand? Old as I am, I should be feeling tired. But you know, son, I'm going to tell you all this. I've never been to a church that have more inspiration. I'm going to tell you. I'm an old fella. But I'm going to tell you this, that I've never been to a church that have more inspiration and encouragement than this. I'll tell you, if anybody don't want to come here, there's something got to be wrong here. If you want to gain ground in Christ, this is where you come. I mean, anybody, if this fella turns people off, something wrong in here. Either the devil got him or something's got him. Amen. I've been so inspired since I've been under Pastor. Listen, there's two guys. I told Pastor this on the tape. There's two guys. I'm going to say this in the room, sit down, because I know he's got to preach. But there's two guys made an effect on my life. There was an old man named Reverend Harvey. He was a prophetic preacher. He taught me all about Jesus Christ. I didn't know about I know God, but I didn't know about Christ. He taught me all about Jesus Christ. This is the next one. The good is the last. I don't expect to go nowhere else. I might visit you, church, but I don't expect to go to no other church, because he's the best encourager ever been in my life. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory. Okay. Praise the King. obviously the Lord really did touch him. You know, it was amazing. I did not realize what was going on when I saw Ernest and Esther go out and while Cheryl and I was taping her story. But as soon as hers was over, well, the young man come in and says, you know, that gentleman that was there with you said, you need to go out there and see him. He's got a real problem. And I went out there and put my hand on him. His shirt was soaking wet with sweat. He had a hot flash, all right. He had a visitation from the enemy. And so, just like he said, I took authority over it, commanded the spirit to leave, and the Lord instantly healed Ernest. He felt like a new man just quickly. But after all, we do have great, wonderful, a living, healing God. And I might say yesterday that yesterday I had a great at the healing school, at the halfway point to the healing school. Yesterday I'm talking about Jesus and how wonderful he is. And, of course, there's people here and crutches and people with walkers and all kinds of things. And one of the ladies that came in with a walker, I saw her act like she was miserable. Finally, at the 3 o'clock intermission, she got up with her walker and walked around to the back. And Cheryl came up to me, and of course, I never even get to take a break. It's always somebody wanting to talk to me at intermission, so I just decided, hey, I don't ever get a break, don't get a drink of water or nothing, don't get to go to the bathroom or nothing, you know, until about 10 o'clock at night. It's amazing how I can go to the bathroom at 12:30 and start a healing school at 1, never have to go again until 10 o'clock at night. You know, I can't go flying in an airplane and do that. You know, I don't understand why I can't, but it's under the anointing. I know what it is. But anyway, Cheryl came out and said, honey, you got to go pray for this lady. She's in excruciating pain. She says she's got to go home, her and her husband. I said, you got to pray for her before she leaves. Okay. So I saw her back there. I walked back there, and I walked up to her, and I said, ma'am, what's wrong? She said, I've had pain in my life for years in my body. My legs are killing me. My back is killing me. She said, I have got to go home. And she had Parkinson also. I said, ma'am, would you tell the Lord, Lord, I repent of all my sins right now? And she said, yes. And so she did. I reached up and laid my hand on her. I said, now then that you've repented, I have been given a complete full authority over your sickness. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command your pain to leave and never come back. And her eyes got big and she says, it's gone. It's gone. I don't have any pain in my body. So she walked up here and sat down right there where the lady is right in front of the pole right now and sat there the rest of the afternoon, listened to the healing school. And whenever we got through, she got up and she was talking to her husband back there. And she said, you know, it's amazing. I don't need this walker. You carry it. And she walked out the door without it. You get to see Jesus do some wonderful things at a healing school. I mean, when you serve the living God, you get to see Him do some wonderful things. All you got to do is believe Him. He's a wonderful, mighty God. So I love Him, and I've got, in fact, one more testimony. I wasn't going to do this, but since this girl's not going to be here, come up here, Victoria. I want you to tell the story on your husband and his feet. This girl here, she met us in Baltimore, and she's a great woman of God, got lots of stories, but I ain't got time for a long one, so I'm going to have her tell a short one about her husband and her husband's feet, okay?
I can keep it real short.
Hold it up close.
Okay, yeah, actually, I'm glad you asked me. I wasn't going to do that. There were so many wonderful stories, it was enough time, but I was thinking about this yesterday when Pastor Thurman was talking during the healing school, because I've been a Christian for 30 years, and Jesus Christ has spoken to me many times. He's delivered me from a great deal of things, as yeah. Pastor and his wife know about. But I'm married to a man who had some of his own issues, as some of us have been through some of that kind of thing. When you're one body with someone, you assume all kinds of problems. And to keep it real short, I've been a Christian, like I said, for many years, and I know the power of the Holy Spirit, and I've walked in it. But among the many issues that my wonderful husband has, is he has a very powerful stench in his feet. And he's had it for years. So if you are in the same room with him and he takes his shoes off, you can be like all the way across the room and you know that he's got his shoes off. I've been near the laundry machine and I've smelled that smell and I look down and there's just one of his socks. Well, we've been praying about him a lot lately. I actually just learned about Pastor Thurman's ministry in May of this year, and I've been listening to him. I ran out and bought a DVD player to keep in my car so I could listen to him day in and day out. And I have to say that, what was I going to say? That anyway, I've been praying for my husband. And Memorial Weekend, just 2 weeks ago, we spent the whole day together, and we did a lot of things we don't usually do. And that night we were going to sit and watch a movie with my son in my room where the TV is, and we don't watch TV, but we use it to watch movies. And my husband sat there, they got the movie all set up, and I ran around the house closing the doors and turning off the lights. And when I got to my room and went in, the smell of his feet hit me in the face, and I said to him, "You took your shoes off." And I'm thinking, we'll never be able to watch this movie together. It was, as soon as I came through the door, the smell was so strong. But I've been listening to Pastor Thurman, and I remembered at that moment in time about when he shared about his athlete's foot. And here I'm a Christian 30 years, but it would never have dawned on me to cast a demon out of my husband's feet until that moment. And I walked over, and there he was laying on my bed with his bare feet, and I put my hands on his feet, and I told that foul demon from hell to leave my husband because I'm one body with him. And I understood now that I've been listening to you. I understood that I could pray for him like that. I told it to leave in the name of Jesus Christ and to never come back. And my 8-year-old son and I looked at each other because I no sooner said amen than the smell was gone.
Amen. Praise the King.
And it has not come back.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I wanted you to hear that, that story. I wanted you to hear that. And, of course, the thing about it is what I've told several times. If you've ever been involved in demons and casting out demons, if you've ever been involved in it at all, you'll notice many times that the most awful smells will come out of people with demons. You know, I've had people that smell perfect, no problem at all. And you start talking to them about God, and a demon manifests, and the most awful odor comes in the room. I mean, awful. So I know those are demonic spirits. And I also know that we have, as children of God, we have been given all power and all authority over these demons. So when they come to us, just like Ernest said, when I walked out there, I knew he had had an attack from the devil. I mean, he was soaking wet with sweat. His shirt was wet. And so I knew what had happened. So by exercising my authority as a son of God, I just laid my hands on him and forcefully commanded that beast to leave. And now then, Ernest, I want to tell you something. I don't ever want to hear you say I'm old and I should be tired again. I am young because the Lord renews my youth like the eagles, and I mow the yard, cut the grass, and do everything else, and I'm still ready to go out for the evening and eat. Praise the King. You know, you don't never confess that again. I am young. I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with the King. He renews my youth like the eagles. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, it's great. Praise the Lord. Okay, now let's get into the Word. I want to, when I first started out, I started looking up things about where we are to fear God. And I found so many scriptures, I made a whole list all the way down one side, down to the bottom of the page. And I thought, Lord, I ain't going to have time to talk about all them. So I'm going to have to do something else. You told us over and over and over and over in your word to fear you. Reverence you, honor you, humble ourselves before you. Okay, so I'm not going to read you 50 scriptures today that will tell you to fear God. But I am going to start down the list and show you what happens and what's available to you if you do what he says. I thought this would be the best. Now, I don't know how far we're going to get on this today. This may be a continued teaching, but we're going to start out in 2 Chronicles in 2017, and let's use everything until I tell you in the King James. Everything I looked up was in the King James till I got way down here to the bottom in Proverbs. Then I looked them up, both King James and the NLT. But if you read all around these scriptures, you'll learn a lot of things. But in 2 Chronicles 2017, in the King James, it makes a statement, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. If you fear the Lord and honor Him, who's going to fight your battle? God's going to fight your battle. You don't have to fight the battle. Is this good news? So whenever Ernest had the attack from the devil up there, all I had to do was lay my hand on him and command the devil to leave. And who drove the devil off of him? God did. He fought my battle. He fights our battles when we do what He says, doesn't He? And something that I really picked up on, and I know that very few people believe this, and it took me a lot of years to get this in my spirit. And from here, we're going to go to something that I want you to see you can do, and I've heard it spoken two or three times today, and this is great that you're getting a hold of this. But in John chapter 20, verse 23, I want you to see in John 20, 23, and use the NLT this time, Jordan. John 20, 23, and look at that. Change it over. And if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. Do you believe you have power in you to forgive somebody's sins? Huh? You do now, don't you? Why do you have that in you now to do that? Because what does it say in the Word of God? That's right. If Christ is in you, if Jesus, if whenever He said, Son, your sins are forgiven you, so you're healed. Get up and walk. And the Pharisee says, who does he think he is? God? I mean, ain't nobody can forgive sin but God. But Jesus said, so that you may know, I as the Son of Man can forgive sins. Your sins are forgiven. Now get up and walk. And the man was healed. And then Jesus went so far as to make a statement in John 14, 12. Again in John 14, 12, look what the King says. John chapter 14, verse 12. Look at this great test statement. The truth is, anyone who believes in me, are you a believer in Jesus? Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done. Did Jesus forgive sin on the earth? Did He say in John 20, 23, you can forgive sin on earth? Did Jesus say right there again, you can do it? Why can we do these great and powerful things? Because where is the King today? He's in us. When I look at DeWitt, there's the King. When I look at Keith, there's the King. When I look at Nancy, there's the King. He's in us. You got to get this picture. You got to realize He wants to do these great and wonderful things through you, Bill. He wants to use you for His glory. Life becomes fun all of a sudden, doesn't it? A lot more than it ever has. Because you pray for people realizing that when you do it God's way, He does great and wonderful things. It's only when you do it your way that it don't work. So He'll fight the battles for you. You won't have to fight them. The King will fight your battles. All you got to do is quote His Word. Somebody says, I don't believe I can forgive sin. Then it won't work for you. Don't even try it. You don't believe the Word. Jesus said, if you forgive their sins, they're forgiven. You noticed two or three times we had people say, I had somebody in the hospital. They were unconscious. I couldn't get them to repent of their sins. So I repented of their sins for them. I forgave their sins for them. 3.5 years ago or whatever it was, maybe 4 years ago, Cheryl, my wife now, she wasn't my wife then, but she had already learned these principles from me. And she forgave her dad's sins. And that's why he recovered, because he was unconscious. He couldn't confess then. She did. She confessed ever since. She believed John 20, 23. And of course, she quotes it all the time. And she walked in and said, I forgive my daddy's sins. Everything he's done, everything my mother's accused him of doing, and everything else. I forgive his sins. And when she forgave his sins, what did the Scripture say? If she forgive his sins in John 20, 23, are they forgiven?
Yes.
That's what he said, wasn't it? Just look what Jesus said there. He will not only will we do the same works I have done, but he says, and greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Greater works. We ought to be. We've allowed the devil to do it to us too long, haven't we? But I think it's time we changed. It's time we start walking holy in obedience to God's Word. And just like praying and believing you can sleep, God promises you blessed sleep, brother. And you're now getting it. You're getting a hold of it. See, I sleep great anywhere and everywhere. You know, I don't have any problem. You know, hey, when I do sleep, praise God. You know, I don't have a problem. Huh? No, I don't sleep in the cockpit. Praise the Lord. Never have. Never have done that. So, I never have, but, you know, praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to 2 Chronicles 20:29. 2 Chronicles 20:29. And let's then use the King James, if you would, Jordan. 20:29. And the fear of God was on all the kingdom of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Now, let me tell you, if you have fear of God and you honor Him and humble yourself in His presence, you'll walk in such great power that everybody will fear us as a nation. They did here. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries that were around them when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Is the Lord going to fight your battles? When people learn that the Lord's going to fight your battle, you don't have to be afraid of nothing, do you? Nothing. We're sons of God. Amen. We're daughters of the King. But we'll have to stand against this beast. Oh, he'll do it to you if he can. Just think, can you imagine the, I won't even use the word, but the devil, like Ernest said, attacking him at GLC with all of us out there with him? A wrong place. Wrong place. You know? I mean, when you got that many men and women of God around you, and man, that place was filled with men and women of God. I mean, them people out there, everybody out there loved Jesus. That's a bad place for the enemy to show up. You know? Because we're going to come against him with the word. Amen. And when we do, who's going to fight our battle? God is. Did you do a good job of kicking him right out of you? Woo! As soon as we got out there and prayed over him, man, that devil's gone. And Ernest is up running around. And just think. I mean, on the way home, I mean, he had a ball. I mean, you know, I know Esther, she did a little praying, you know. But she's not quite as used to flying in a little airplane. Ernest, I think that was his first trip in a small airplane, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not a really small one. You know, it carries 7 people. You know, it's a great, big, beautiful thing on the inside. You know, very comfortable, very nice. You know, it's really a nice machine, and I love flying it. Job 28:28. Let's go to Job 28:28. And let's see what he has to say there in Job 28:28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Job 28:28. What is that saying to you? And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. What is the fear of the Lord? Wisdom. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Where do you get wisdom? From the Lord. That's right. You ask God. When you in James chapter 1, verse 6. Don't go there, Jordan. I ain't got time for that. But it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. Who gives to you liberally? No problem. You just ask the Lord, thank you, I got it. It's done. You have to believe, though. If you don't, he won't do it. You can't be wishy-washy with God and say, well, God, I hope you'll give me some wisdom. No. He says, fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Now then, if you're involved in any kind of evil, what should you do? Depart. Get rid of it. Man. Don't have nothing to do with it. You're a child of God. You don't want nothing to do with evil. You want to walk holy before the King. Now then, the next one is Psalms 25:14. Psalms 25:14 in the King James. Psalms 25:14, and it says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Now think about that. The secret of the Lord. Wow. Secret things that only He can give you. The secrets that only the Lord knows is with them that fear Him. Does it pay good dividends to fear the king? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because nothing will the king withhold from you if you'll fear him and walk in love with him. Nothing. He won't withhold healing. He'll not withhold secrets. He'll not withhold anything from you and your family. He loves us. But there's a requirement. And the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. He reveals to you this mighty covenant that we have today. You know how many years I was in church and didn't even know I had a covenant with God? Nobody in my church ever taught me I had a covenant with God. That me and him had an agreement together and that I could do great and mighty things in his name. Nobody ever told me that. And I was in church every time the door was open. And one day I was just reading the Bible and I began to see these things. Of course, I'm spending hundreds of hours with God. But if I spend time with him, who's going to show me the covenant? The Lord's going to show me. I don't have to depend on a preacher to show it to me. All I got to do is get in his word and study. And he's going to show it to me, isn't he, Keith?
Yes, sir.
And that's, you get it from him, don't you? Yes, but you find it in that book.
Yes,
you know what God's going to say one day when you get to heaven and you look up and he's going to, you're going to see all the things and you say, Lord, I didn't know these things belonged to me. You know what his question answer is going to be? Amen, Bill. Didn't you read my book? I told you all about this, didn't he? It's in there, isn't it? And there's a whole lot more in there, too, that me and you ain't learned yet. But we're going to master it. Amen. We're not going to give up. He'll show us our covenant. And then Psalms 33:8. Psalms 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Do you stand in awe of God? I do. I stand in awe of my King. I mean, he is beyond my wildest dreams. I mean, whenever I prayed for some of you, I mean, like Ernest and Esther was talking about a while ago, where their granddaughter got healed when they brought her over here. Esther got healed when she come up a few months later. I mean, there's people in this congregation right here today that have received tremendous testimonies, tremendous healings from God when I had the privilege to pray for you. I'm telling you, I stand in awe of that. That he would use a guy, a man, flesh and blood, to do these things. But he does.
Yes, sir.
All I got to do is do what he said. Right, Tashiana? I got to obey him. I got to love him. I got to worship him. I got to stand in awe of who he is. I got out of the airplane out in Odessa. I walked in. I said, I need to pay for my fuel. And so I paid for it. And I turned around. There's all kinds of men and women standing around in here. And I said, anybody in this place know Jesus? Nobody said a word. There was an old guy standing right beside me. He said, what'd you say, son? Praise God for a hard-hearing man. I said, sir, you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? No, I don't believe I do. I said, well, praise God, you need to know him. There wasn't nobody else in that place hard-hearing. I guarantee they all heard, and that place just cleared out like a covey of quail. Isn't that a shame? When you walk in, the world is afraid of you. All you got to do is stand in awe of the King. You don't have to be afraid of your enemies. All you got to do is stand in awe of God. Let all the earth fear the Lord. When you walk in a demonstration of the Spirit's power, the earth does fear him. You know that? You don't have to be afraid of nothing. As you go through life, you can stand in awe of God. Stand in awe of him. Then let's go to verse 18. 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Okay, do you want to fear God? I want to fear him because I want his eye on me. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him and upon them that hope in his mercy. Do you believe God's merciful? I know He's merciful. I'm going to walk holy and obedient to His Word, and then everywhere I go, His eye is upon me, watching me. And He's keeping record. And then when I do something that pleases Him, like the woman yesterday, or like the little woman that stood right here a little while later, another little lady. I come back down here at the end of the service yesterday afternoon, a precious little daughter of the King, little bitty gal. I think she said she was 40 or 50 years old. I bet she didn't weigh 90 pounds. Osteoporosis. Whatever. I can't say some of these names. Unfortunately, God understands what these sicknesses are. I'm a Texan. I do the best I can with these. Okay, been on crutches for 8 years. No, now we got that part. I said, what's wrong with you, little lady? She said, I've been walking these crutches. My knees got pain in my knees and her hips and all kinds of places. So all over her body, in fact. So I knelt down in front of her. I put my hands on her left knee and I commanded that pain to leave in the name of Jesus. I thanked the Lord for healing her. I said, it's done, woman. You can go. Cheryl said, well, stand on it. She said, but it hurts. I said, well, stand, do something. Okay, so she moved her crutches out to the side and she put some, she said, you know, it hurts. I told her, I said, you know, you got to show God a little more than that. Do something. She starts walking. And she gets about right here and she puts her crutches under her arm and she walks out with them. Now then, is Jesus awesome? Is He awesome, DeWitt? I mean, He shows up when you show some faith, doesn't He? You got to believe Him. Wow. Psalms 34:7. Psalms 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear Him and delivers them. Do you want the Lord's angels to encamp around you, Tom? And delivers you? What do you got to do to get Him to do that? Fear Him. Reverence Him. Love Him. Worship Him. Believe that He is. And believe that He's a God that rewards them that diligently seek Him. Just like Hebrews 11:6 says. He'll do anything for you if you'll believe Him. You know, I told a story here a while back, and I didn't know who told me the story, but now I know who it was. I'd point her out now. This little lady sitting up here in front beside Bill, her husband. It's amazing. She said she had to fix a spreadsheet. I don't know if it was an Excel or whatever kind it was. Excel spreadsheet. Had to get it together for her company. Couldn't get the formulas figured out. But she's a daughter of the King, and she knows who she is in Christ. She gets down on her knees and says, Lord, I got to have some help tonight. I got to have this spreadsheet finished. I only got 2 days to get this done for this company I work for, and I got to do all these records and everything, and I don't know the formulas to put in, but I know you do, and I got to have you show me where they are and how to do them. That night, she had a beautiful dream, and that dream, every formula she needed was in that dream. The next morning, she gets up and writes down every one of them formulas, goes to work, puts every one of them in where God showed her, and that spreadsheet's still working today. You mean God knows how to program computers too? He sure does, doesn't He? You know, you got to start thinking like God a little bit, don't you? That's what this daughter of the King did. She started thinking like God. Lord, I fear You and I love You and I worship You and I stand in awe of You. And he said, my daughter reached over and put his arm around her and said, what can I do for you? She said, I need some formulas, Dad. He said, no problem, go to bed. I'll give them to you tonight in your dreams. And he did, didn't he? And they worked perfect. Does it pay good dividends to stand in awe of the King? To love Him and worship Him? Yes, it does. Now then we go to verse 9. Go down a couple of verses to verse 9. Psalm 34:9. O fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Now, is that going to pay good dividends to fear Him? If you're having a problem with your needs being met, you can't get a good job, or you ain't got money in the bank, or you got something, you tell the Lord, Lord, I fear You. I stand in awe of You. I love You and I worship You and I praise You and I'll walk holy before You. What did the king say? Fear the Lord, you His saints. Are you a saint?
Yes, sir.
Are you His son or daughter?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Lord, I fear You and I love You and I worship You. And there is no want to them that fear Him. How much want?
No amount.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is not a
need,
it's a want, what we want.
Yeah, there's no want. I might say here that, you know, in my life, when I was working as an engineer, making extremely good money as the world is concerned, I was able to buy a little Mooney, and I flew it about 500 hours, and it was just a really nice little airplane. But that one little airplane was all I could afford. That's it. So finally, I sold it and thought, I'll never fly again because airplanes are too expensive. So one day, as God put me in the ministry, I said, Lord, I need another airplane. I need a twin-engine airplane this time. I ain't never had enough money to buy a twin-engine airplane. But I need a twin-engine airplane. So Dave and I spent hours on a computer looking and trying to figure out which one's the best, the most economical, the least maintenance, the fastest, and all these kind of things. And then I started looking, and I said, you know, I think I found the right one. And bam, God sent me the money to pay for it, just like that.
Amen.
Paid cash for that airplane.
Amen.
Wasn't long. We figured out we didn't have a big enough one. We needed a bigger one. So maybe we ought to sell the little one, the little twin, and get a bigger twin. So somebody called, and we was talking to them about we were going to buy a bigger airplane. They said, what would it cost? And, well, the one I'm looking at costs this much. And the next day, there was an express check in the mail to pay cash for that one. And then later I said, Lord, I've always wanted a fast Mooney. I mean, now that I'm in my waltz, I want a Mooney. He brought me one, a beautiful one, and paid cash for it. And then I said, Lord, I got to have a place to park this thing. And there was a place down there where I could park another airplane, but there was a Cessna 150 in it. I went down there and said, what are you going to do? The guy said, as soon as I sell this, I'll have to be able to move it. And then this hangar here will be available. I said, how much you want for it? He told me. I said, no problem. I'll just buy that one too. He meant, there's no want. I have four airplanes. Isn't that amazing? I couldn't afford one single engine when I was working as an engineer. And now God has given me four, and it's been not a dime payment on none of them ever. He paid cash for all of them. And now Cheryl and I went out to Odessa, and on the way back in our Mooney, we went in our big twin, you know, because there's seven of us went, and it flies about 200 miles an hour. And so that's nice going 200 miles an hour. But coming, you know, when Cheryl and I went into Mooney the next day, since there's only two of us, it'll carry four people, but it only flies about 160 miles an hour. And so that seemed awful slow. So I got to thinking, Lord, I need one of those rocket Moonies that's got the three. Now my wants are kicking in, Bill. I need one of them Moonies with a 305 horse that does 230 knots at 24,000. That way I could get somewhere, Lord. I said, Lord, that's what I want. Guess what I'm going to get sometime in the very near future? He's going to give it to me. I know He is. I know He is. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what I want. One of those things, 230 knots, that's 270 miles an hour. You know, isn't that amazing what God does? Well, we can get somewhere 270 miles an hour, you know it? 230 knots. I know some of y'all that don't mean anything because some of you, like I was, you was bound to a 60-mile-an-hour car all your life. And so when you get in an airplane, Dave and I flew down to do a radio show the other Saturday morning down at Kilgore. And we took off here early that morning and flew all the way to Kilgore. It took us just an hour and 5 minutes from Northwest all the way to Kilgore in that Mooney. We went in the Mooney. Isn't that wonderful? You know how long it takes you to drive in a car from out there? 3.5 hours. To 4. But it took us 1 hour and 5 minutes to fly down there in that Mooney. But you know, if we'd had one of those acclaims, we could have went down there in 30 minutes. What did the Lord say? Fear the Lord, you saint, and there will be no want for them that fear Him. Well, Lord, that's what I want, so you'll meet my wanter, I know. Praise God. One day He's going to give me that airplane. Who would have ever dreamed? Huh? I mean, is that what the Word says? Do you fear Him? Do you love Him? Do you worship Him? Do you reverence Him? He's the King of kings, and I stand in awe. Now, verse 11, Jordan. 34:11. Come, you children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You've got to be taught how to fear the Lord. Do you know something that there is not in the church today? There is very little knowledge of God, and there's almost no fear. I mean, we go do what we want to do. I mean, God told us to be ye holy, for I am holy, and we go right out and lie. We go out and steal. We go out and do dirty, under the table deals with people. We don't do what God says. But one thing about, if you do those kind of things, if you repent, will God forgive you?
Yes.
Isn't that the wonderful thing about God?
Amen.
Huh? You have to turn. You have to learn. If you'll walk in obedience to His Word, He will bless your socks off. Won't He? Yes, He will. He will bless you. Psalms 96:9. I love having the Scripture up here like this. I don't have to look it up in the Bible. Psalms 96:9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. When you worship Him, when we were standing here a while ago singing and worshiping and praising God, when we have all of our sins repented of and we're holy in His presence, do you think He loves that?
Yes,
He loves that. He wants His people to be holy. He wants them to be holy so when you go down to that hospital, He can do something when you use His name. You can pray for that boy. You can kick them demons out and He'll show up for you, Bill, when you walk holy in His presence. You know He will, because He said it in His Word, didn't He? He did, and He will. You've got to walk holy before Him. Then Psalms 103:13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. See what that says in the NLT. Jordan, flip that over to the NLT. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. The more you learn about fearing God, the more you want to fear Him, right? I mean, the benefits are out of this world. They're out of this world. Why would anybody in the church as a child of God not fear God or reverence Him? That's what he's talking about here, reverencing Him. Think about this. If you were going to walk in to visit the President of the United States this afternoon, what would you look like? Would you comb your hair? Would you wear nice clothes? Would you wear shoes or would you go barefooted? Would you be on your best manners? Or would you just walk in and say, "Hi, President, how you doing, old boy?" You know, hair's all blowed all over the place and, you know, your clothes are torn, your blue jeans got holes in them and you got sandals on or you got flip-flops on. "Hi, President, how you doing, boy?" You wouldn't do that, would you, DeVette? But when you come here, who do you come to see? I hope you don't come to see Thurman Scrivener. I hope you come to see the King.
Amen.
You should be on your best when you come to see the King. You know, you ought to smell good. You ought to have your hair combed. You ought to be coming to see God, not me. Not coming to see your neighbors. You ought to be coming to see the King. You ought to be on your best manners. When you walk in, you ought to be in fear of this God, because He's here. He's here. I remember reading something about Smith Wigglesworth one time. Smith Wigglesworth was one of the greatest men of faith I ever read about. He always wore a suit and tie, even at home. He said, "I like to look good for the King." I hadn't quite gone that far. You know, I do want to look good for the King, and I do try to dress up nice, and I want my lovely wife to look beautiful when we come to church. I want her to look like a beautiful lady dressed fit for a King, because we come here to see the King. It may be a warehouse, but the King shows up here, doesn't he, Tashiana? Yes, He does. Wow. He's compassionate and tender to those that fear Him. Psalms 103:17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Hey, your children are going to get the benefit from what you do. You fear Him, His mercy is going to be on you and your children. There are some things He also says if you don't, His wrath is going to come upon you and your children. I don't like that part. I don't want that part. So I want to stand in awe of Him. And then after this one, let's go to 111:10. Psalms 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning. That's just a starting point. When you learn to fear Him, this reverence Him, this is the beginning of your wisdom. It says, a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endures forever. A good understanding have they that do His commandments. If you do God's commandments and you fear Him, I can tell you, you won't have to be sick. You won't have to have pain in your body. He'll keep your body healed and well, and He'll give you power and authority. All you've got to do is fear Him and love Him and worship Him and believe Him. Only believe. Just think, when Jairus came to Him and said, "Master, come to my house. My daughter's laying, dying." And all of a sudden, the man walks up. He said, "I'll go heal her. No problem." And another man walks up and says, "Don't bother the master. Your daughter's dead." Now, most of us go to screaming and kicking at that point. But the King said, "Jairus, only believe." What did Jairus have to do?
Believe.
Only believe. He said, "Lord, I do believe. Please help my unbelief." Only believe. So Jesus goes over there. You know, here's this little 12-year-old girl. They said, "It's too late. You're too late. She's dead." He said, "Nah, she's just sleeping." They laughed him to scorn. "We're smarter. Now we've been in checks her. She ain't got no pulse. This girl's been dead an hour." Jesus walks in. Only He takes a very select number of people with Him. All them unbelievers, He has them go away.
Amen.
"I don't want you around here." And if you're going to get something done for Jesus, you better not take a room full of unbelievers with you.
Amen.
You're going to start praying for somebody in the hospital, you start checking them out.
Amen.
I remember one time when a doctor from Greenville, this Dr. Smith, he came over, he heard about our ministry, he came over here several times, drove over here on Sunday for church. One day he came to me and said, "Thurman, I never heard this kind of stuff, but it's all in this book." He said, I ain't never seen none of these miracles. But he said, I got a woman, and she's down in that big hospital over here close to right here on Walnut Hill. I can't think of the name of another just before you get to 75. What is it?
Presbyterian.
Said she's in Presbyterian, and he said, if God intervened, this woman would be dead by tomorrow. There ain't nothing I can do. I've done all I can do as a doctor. He said, will you go over and pray for her with me after church this afternoon? I said, sure, no problem. We go over there, and I get there, and I walk up, and there's the man. I said, are you the husband? He said, yes, sir. I said, do you and your wife go to church? He said, we sure do. I said, what kind of church you go to? He said, a Southern Baptist. I said, well, good. You believe the word then, don't you? He said, guarantee, mister, I believe God's word. I said, well, we're fixing to find out. I opened to James 5:14-15. I said, read this for me. And he read that. I said, do you believe that? He read that again. James 5:14. What does that say, Jordan? James 5:14-15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. 15. And the prayer of faith might save the sick.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what it said. And the prayer of faith shall. The prayer of what?
Faith.
You got to pray the prayer of faith, don't you? Not the prayer of unbelief. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I said, do you believe that? He said, I've been in church all my life. I didn't know that's in the Bible. I said, but it's written in your Bible. He ran over there and he got his Bible. He said, it is in there. You don't have a unique Bible. Mine says the same thing. Isn't that amazing? I said, so will you ask me to do that for your wife? He said, absolutely. If God put it in that book, he said, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. So I got the authority of the man now to pray for his wife. I walk up Dr. Gary and him. I said, you guys stay at the door. I don't want y'all to come in. I want you to stay at the door. They stayed at the door. I went in, opened my little bottle of anointing oil on a woman, totally comatose, body all swell, poured it up on her forehead, rubbed it in. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command them devils to come out of you, and I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. I walked back over to the door, and I said, it's done. She'll get well, no problem. I left at a Sunday night. The next Sunday, Dr. Smith was back. I said, what happened? Or the lady's name was Betty. By the way, I still remember her name. I said, what happened to Betty? He said, Friday, she come through my office for a checkup on the way home. He said, God healed her, Thurman. I said, isn't that amazing? The Word of God works just like it's written. He said, I won't never be the same. And I'm going to tell you, Dr. Smith has never been the same. He has got a hold of this. He's teaching it. I mean, he's on fire for Jesus. And I don't know if he's still even a medical doctor anymore. I think he's become a preacher. I mean, the guy's going around praying for people. Everybody comes in his office. I don't know if he charges them because he comes in and prays for them. God heals them. And he probably says, oh, leave me $100 as you go out the door. But he's getting them healed all over the place. But I'm telling you, Dr. Smith has never been the same since he saw that woman healed. In other words, the Word of God worked. Isn't that amazing how that God's Word works? Psalms 111:10. Oh, we did that one? Okay, Psalms 115:11-13. Psalms 115:11-13. You that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. In other words, didn't He make us all these promises? Can't we trust Him? So if I fear Him, I trust Him. He is their help and their shield. So when I go out there and I do these things, when I lay hands on the sick or whatever, am I healing them or is it my King? It's the King, not me. He's fighting the battle for me. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel and He will bless the house of Aaron. Now then, the next verse, verse 13. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. How would you like for God to bless you? I want Him to bless me every second of every day. Don't you, young lady? I want to be blessed of the Lord. How and what do I have to do to get God to bless me? Fear Him. I mean, when you go today, say, Lord, I know that fear is a holy reverence. That's what it is. Lord, it's just like my daddy. I wasn't afraid of my daddy until I'd done something wrong. You know, when I knew I had broke his rules, and he knew I broke his rules, and when he was walking over to get that razor strap off the wall, that's when fear fell all over me. And that's the wrong kind of fear. I was afraid of daddy when that happened, because I knew what was fixing to happen. I didn't have to have many of those till I learned. Well, don't have any of those with God. Reverence Him and fear Him, and He'll bless you. If I obeyed my daddy would do anything to help me. And most of you men here that are good husbands and good fathers, you will do any, if you're a man of God, you'll do anything to help your sons or daughters. Anything. You treat them with love and respect if you're a man of God. And if you'll do that to God, what did He say He'd do for you? He'll bless you, both small and great. And if God, can you think of anybody you'd rather bless you than God? I just stand in awe. I really stand in awe of what God does. Now then, Psalms 118:4-6. Psalms 118:4-6. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endures forever. Now, does it require us using our tongue? Sure, that's part of it. You got to use that mouth. You got to talk about Jesus. Just like me when I walked in that airport the other day out there at Odessa. Is there anybody in this place that knows Jesus? Isn't it amazing? You know, I mean, that's just like when we went into Canada. You know, and we're fixing to go back up there. Preach again. I walked into Canada and I walked up to the customs officer and she said, what are you here for? I said, ma'am, I'm here to preach Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. Do you know Him who He is? She said, what? I said, I'm here to preach about Jesus. I said, I'm a preacher. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? She said, you see that red line right there? There's another office right down there. You follow that red line, go in right there. Okay. So we start to walk off and Cheryl says, I think you messed up. So we go down there and walk in and the lady says, what are you here for? I said, I'm here to preach Jesus, ma'am. I said, you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? She said, no, I do not. And I thought, okay, now I wonder if I'm going to get in to preach or not. So I said, honey, why don't you take it from here? And being the nice, wonderful secretary that she is, she knew how to handle that woman. And she gave her the information she needed, gently and kindly. And we got through customs. But before I left that airport, I batted 1,000. Every human being I run into, I ask them, did they know Jesus? And not one single person knew Jesus. What a place. In fact, when I was talking to people about Jesus up there, I ran into a Christian man that told me, he said, do you know that the last, whatever, prime minister or whatever they call them, the what, honey? A candidate. Yeah, a woman, I ain't going to call her a lady. A woman that ran for the Prime Minister of Canada, the highest position like the President of the United States, she ran on a platform that we need to cleanse Canada of all Christians. That was her platform. No, she didn't get in. Yes, she was second. That'll tell you where the nation of Canada is. Do they need Jesus up there? So when you go up there, you're going to have a battle on your hands. But who's going to fight my battles for me? I ain't going to have to do nothing. The King is going to be in control. He's going to send His angels. All I got to do is go talk to them about Jesus. He'll do the rest. He says, so let them that fear the Lord say that His mercy endures forever. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me, and He set me in a large place. Boy, He did. He set me in Canada. You know, and I come back from Canada and called upon Him. He set me in Germany. I said, Lord, I don't want to go back over here to this place. He said, it ain't your business, it's mine. You just go where I tell you. Oh, Lord. Verse 6. The Lord is on my side. Praise the Lord. If I fear Him, He's on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to you? The only thing they can do to you is kill your flesh. That's the only thing they can do. They can't kill your spirit and your soul. And if God's not through with you, they can kill you and stone you and leave you for dead. And God can come right by and raise you from the dead and pick you up. Did He do that to Paul? I mean, Paul went over to Ephesus and done the greatest miracle. An old man that's sitting there. I say old man, probably 30, 40 years old, you know. But how would you like to be 30 or 40 years old and scooted yourself on a board all of your life, never been able to walk, not one day? A demon of hell had you bound up. And Paul preached faith. And he looked over in a little while and he said, sir, I perceive you have faith to be healed. Get up and walk in the name of Jesus. And the man starts moving. And then the next thing you know, those legs are working and he's standing up. And everybody said, the gods have come down among us. Paul said, no. Tore his shirt up and said, look, I'm flesh and bone just like you are. But I do know who the God of the universe is. And His name's Jesus. He said, let me tell you about this mighty God. And in a few minutes, the Jews come by and said, these guys are crazy. They're teaching you a lie. And the devil and them people convinced them people that just saw this awesome miracle to take stones and stone Paul and kill him. And then they drug him by the heels out to the dump and throwed him away. How would you like to have been that preacher? So you may have to suffer a little if you start doing something for Jesus. Just get ready. Get used to it. Until God's through with you, ain't nobody can take you out.
Amen.
I mean, the devil tried to take Paul out, and God goes out there and He sends some of His apostles out, and they touch him, raise him up, and God raised him from the dead and brought him back. They dusted him off and said, get back in there, Paul. I ain't through with you yet. Get in there. You know, somebody says, oh! Hey, if you're a wimpy Christian, forget it. It won't work for you as a wimp. You know, you can't be a wimp, can you, Ernest? No. You got to be a man. You got to be a woman. You know, you got to be ready to fight the battle. You got to be able to go into battle knowing your king's going to fight your battle for you. And if all you got to do is fear Him, stand in awe of Him, and He will do these things for you. Then we go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2 and on. We're going to go through the whole chapter of Proverbs chapter 1, and then we're going to quit. That's about halfway through my outline. I thought maybe I'd get enough for an hour and a half, but anyway, Proverbs 1. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. To know wisdom and instruction. This is extremely important to know this. Then keep going on down through the scriptures. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Next verse. To understand a proverb in the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see there in verse 7? The word fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if you don't have fear for God, you have no knowledge at this point. But if you stand in awe of Him, that is the beginning of knowledge. And if you walk in awe or reverent fear of Him, is there any limitations to the amount of knowledge that He'll give you? None. As long as you walk wholly before Him and walk in awe and in fear. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. How many men have I seen, and a few women, that come to me for, well, you might say, instruction from the Word of God, and I tell them, you got to leave your life of sin. You got to stop sinning. The power is in you as a child of God. You don't have to sin no more. You can stop it. It's a choice you make every day. Like a man the other day come to me. His family's about broke up. His marriage is about had it. He was on drugs and alcohol. And I told him, I said, God give you a promise in Joel 2:32. I said, anybody that comes to Him for deliverance, He will in no wise turn you away. I said, He'll deliver you. All you got to do is be serious with Him. Ask Him, He'll set you free. Well, that night He appeared to be serious. So I cast the demon out of him. I said, now then, God's put the power in you. You don't ever have to drink another drop of alcohol. I said, but you need to find you some new friends. You don't want to hang out with those boys you've been hanging out with. You want to find you some good Christian friends and walk with them. He said, okay. So within two or three days, he's right back out there with his same old buddies. They come back, come on, Bob or Jack or Joe, come on. Let's go down and have a few beers. Let's go down and get high. Well, okay, I'll go with you, but I ain't going to get high today. But he comes home stone drunk. 2 weeks later, he comes back to church and he tells me, I can't do it. I said, did you change friends? He said, well, no, those are the only friends I got. They ain't your friends. That's right, Tom. They ain't your friends. They're the demons of hell and they're your enemies. And they come to steal, kill, and to destroy. Now, if he had obeyed God's word and got him some new friends, if he'd have started hanging out with a Christian bunch, he would have never went back to that alcohol. You can't live in the devil's pig pen. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel safe walking around in this room?
Yes, sir.
What if I were to take this room and I lock the door and put a door over there and fix it where nothing can get out, and I come in here and I put 500 big, long, 6-foot rattlesnakes in this room? I said, okay. I put them all around the edge. You see all them snakes? He said, my goodness gracious, where am I going? And I said, well, just a minute. And I reached up and turned the lights out.
Wow.
Now then, find your way out. Are you going to be in fear? Why can you feel so safe in here with all of us people in here? Because we're Christians. We're not devils. We're Christian men and women in here. You feel comfortable in here. You can walk around, talk to anybody you want to. You ain't no problem. But if I take everybody and put 500 of them great big long 6-foot rattlesnakes in here, you're going to want to get out of this room, right, Ernest? You can't walk in this room with them snakes and not get bit, can you? I don't care how close you watch. They're going to get you sooner or later. One of them's going to get you. Well, that's the way it is out there in the world. You got to change your friends. You got to start hanging out with men and women of God. Men and women, you got to turn off that tube that's got them nasty programs coming in. You got to start filling your heart and your mind with the things of God. And if you do, then you can walk in this. Now the next verse. My son, hear the instructions of your father. Of course, who is our father? God. Hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Instructions. When your mother and daddy tell you to do something, you know, some of you, I've noticed, some of you have got little children around here. And some people with little children, when the little children don't do what they say, the little children get really upset. You know them little critters can throw a fit? And some of you don't do nothing about it. But some of you do. Now then, the books will tell you don't never use a rod on your child. Because you'll ruin them. But God's Word says the rod of correction shall drive the evil far from your children. Right, Bill? So if you've got a child and they throw one of them little tantrums and you don't take a little switch and say, now, I love you, but we won't allow that in our house. Don't get angry with them. Don't get wild with them. Be gentle with them. But say, we don't do that in my house. You know, you're under my authority. I'm the parent here, not you. I'm in control, not you. And so when they kick and scream, and you say, okay, you pick them up and you take that little rod and say, whap, whap, about two or three. Now then, how would you like to do what Daddy told you to do? Daddy, what do you want me to do? I want you to sit down there in that chair. Oh, okay, okay. And 5 minutes later, same thing. They do it again. They forget quick. You know that? You almost have to carry the thing in your back pocket. But if you'd raise up children like it, you'll raise up good ones. It won't be long till you want to use that switch. They'll learn that that switch is there and that you mean business. And it won't be long, maybe 3, 4, 5 years. But in a few years, you'll have good children. When you say, son, will you take the trash out for mama? Yes, mama. Which one you want me to take out? And they'll run, get it, and carry it right out for mama. But mama, I don't want to do it today. I'll tell your daddy when he gets. Okay, mama. I'll get it. I'll take it out right now. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. This ornament of grace under your head. Next couple of verses, Jordan. My son, if sinners entice you, consent not. Oh, just come on, let's go out and have a few beers this afternoon. You know, let's go out and get high one more time. What are you supposed to do? No! Say no! My son, if sinners entice you, consent not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privately for the innocent without cause. What does the next one say? Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole. And as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil or with money. Is there anybody that's doing those kind of things in the city of Dallas today?
Yes, sir.
Man, it's happening all over the place. They're listening to the wrong ones. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. He says, my son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path. Don't go with them. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Even a bird is smarter than this. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. Don't be greedy of gain. If you need money, go to church, serve God, have fear of the Lord, and bless Him, and tithe, and do everything God says in His Word. And what does He say He would, and fear Him and love Him? And did He say He'll meet every need you have? He sure will. He'll meet every need you have. You don't have to worry about money. God will meet your needs. Now, that doesn't mean He's going to buy you a new Cadillac. You know, He may buy you a 1949 Chevrolet. But if He does, then if that's what He gives you, that's all you need at the time. Praise Him and thank Him for that 49 Chevrolet. Somebody said, boy, you serve God, that ain't much of a car. You said, well, praise God, I'm worshiping the King. That must be all He thinks I need at the time. And it does get me back and forth. So, Lord, thank You for my 49 Chevrolet. Lord, I praise You. I give You praise. I stand in fear of You. And maybe 6 months later, or maybe a year later, somebody said, that old junky car. He said, praise God for my car. I don't have to walk. Thank You, Jesus, for my car. I'm so grateful. And one day some guy comes up and says, I am tired of you driving that old junk car. Well, I mean, praise God. He said, I got a 1997 out there that I'd like to give you so you don't have to drive that old junk. He said, praise God. That's the one I've been waiting for. Will the Lord do that for you?
Amen.
Yes, He will. I mean, when I use the word 97, that's just like when I had that 72 or 73 Ford Taurus. And that was Betty's car. And after she got killed, well, the car had 180,000 miles on it, something like that. And so I'm going lots of places now. And so I'm driving that car because she had taken my Oldsmobile, the one I drove all the time. That's the one her and Amanda got killed in. And so it was a real nice, whole lot newer car. That's why she was driving it. And, of course, when she got killed, tore it all to pieces. So I had to drive her little red Taurus. Well, one day I told the Lord, I said, Lord, this little Taurus got 180,000 or whatever. Still runs great, but I need a better car. I said, Lord, I don't know. I said, I have $6,000 in the bank to pay for one. I said, I don't want to finance one. I ain't going to go buy something and pay, you know, payments on a car. I just ain't going to do that. I said, Lord, I have $6,000 total, but I need a really nice car to do Your work in. A few days later, or a few weeks later, a Baptist preacher here in the area had a 1997 gold four-door LHS Chrysler that had everything in the world on it and had 60,000 actual miles on it. And he was going to swap it in for a new Chevrolet van. And he went down to the American Airlines Credit Union and trying to get the title transferred over to this other company. And there was no, all day long he messed with them and could not get that title transferred to that company. He's on the way home that afternoon. He said, I don't understand, God. It's a 5-minute job to get this done. He said, there's something wrong here. What am I doing wrong? And the Lord says, call Thurman. Wow. So he gets home and he said, Thurman, you may think I'm crazy. Are you looking for a car? I said, yes, I am. He said, I thought so. He said, I got this 97 Chrysler. It's got 60,000 miles on it. It's beautiful, perfect, got new tires on it, everything, not a thing wrong with it. But my wife wants a station, wants one of them vans, one of them big custom vans, and said, we're going to trade that car in on a van. And I said, well, what do you want for it? He said, I was going to trade it in for just, they offered me what I owed on it as a trade-in. And I said, well, what do you owe? And he said, something a little less than 6,000. I said, I'll take it. He said, I want you to look at it. I said, no, I don't need to look at it. Bring it to me. He said, Thurman. I said, no, if God chooses my car for me, it's got to be perfect. He chooses it. It's perfect. No problem. So next morning, I run to the bank. As soon as the bank opened, I go down there, and I got $6,000 cash in the bank. I said, let me write you a check. I want to get $6,000 cash money out. I want to put it in my pocket because I'm going down to American Airlines, and they may not take a check on me down there because they don't know me. But I said, I think they'll take cash. Amen. So I'm going to get me a 97 Chrysler LHS today for something less than $6,000. He come out that morning, pulled up my driveway. He said, you want to look at it? I said, no, perfect. He said, let's look under the hood. I said, I don't need to look under the hood. He said, but I want you to look under the hood. Okay. So he pulled the hood. It couldn't have been any pretty if it just come off the showroom floor. I mean, that thing was beautiful. It didn't have a mark on it. It was perfect. 60,000 miles. And I said, okay, let's go. He said, well, do you at least drive it down there? I said, okay. So I get in it. And we drive it down to American Airlines Credit Union. I walk in, and I've got the numbers and everything. I said, we want to transfer this particular Chrysler over into my name, and I want to pay it off. The woman took the paper. She said, go right over to that window right there. Me and David walked over to that window right there, and I said, ma'am, I come to pay off a 97 Chrysler. She said, oh, yeah, the title. They just handed it to me. Said, it's $5,765. I said, do you take $100 bills? She said, I do. I said, okay, so I give her $5,800, and she gave me a few change back, and in 5 minutes I was out of there, and I've got 110,000 miles on that car today, and it ain't never give me not 1 minute's trouble, run perfect. Now, amen. I have worshipped and praised the King for that 97 Chrysler. Now, I was worshiping and praising Him for that 72 or 73 Taurus. Why do you think He gave me a newer one? Because I was worshiping and praising Him for the old one. Hey, now, if I'd have grumbled and complained, He'd have said, oh, if that's the way you want to be, you don't get nothing. You can walk, and then let's see how you like that. Somebody said, God wouldn't do me like that. Don't put Him to the test. He can let you walk. You know that? He can let you walk. So what is the beginning of wisdom? Fear of the Lord. If you walk in reverent fear of God and you honor Him and love Him and worship Him, what will you need in life? Nothing. He promised it. And I've proved it to you over and over on these scriptures. And I only got through half of what I had. I got enough for another sermon next Sunday right here. Praise the Lord. I won't even have to study. Glory to God. I knew I should have only studied an hour and a half this morning instead of three. No, seriously. Is our God awesome? Yes. Does He want to do good things for His children?
Yes.
But Bill, has He got a way of doing it?
Yes.
And how we got to do it His way.
And only.
That's the only way it works, isn't it? And when we do it His way, the answer, how many times has God's promises? No.
Never.
Just think. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1:20, and he's going to pull that up and we're going to quit. For all the promises of God, if you're in Christ, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. By us. How many times is God's promises yes, if you're in Christ? Every time. Every time. So you walk holy before him. You can't miss, can you? And you know, I love it. Since Ernest was just up here giving a testimony, I love it when I look at his beautiful wife and think that she had a tumor in her stomach for 15 years. And I got to pray for her, and God took it away. And ain't nobody no more happier than you and her or there it is. But I'm just as happy with them because I'm one with them in Christ. They're my brother and sister. And I got to pray the prayer of faith for her and him and to see God do that great and awesome miracle. Amen. But many of you in here have received from God like that. Just remember, we got an enemy out there. But if we walk in obedience to His Word with no fear in our heart and we only fear Him, He's going to fight our battles for us. He'll win too, won't He, Tashiana? Every time He'll win. Have no fear. The King is here. He's in control. Father, we thank You for this beautiful day. We thank You for these mighty words that You've given us in Your Word. Because Your Word is You. Your Word tells us who You are and what You like and what You don't like and what You will do. And Lord, we find out how much You love us in Your Word. Oh Lord, how grateful we are that we as sons of God can use Your name and speak and see You do the great and mighty miracles of salvation, healing, and deliverance that only You can do. What a privilege to serve the King. Lord, as all of us go this week, let us remember Tuesday night, 7 to 9, we have Bible study. Next Sunday, 2 to 4, we have church again. And Lord, thank You yesterday from 1 to 5, the healing school we have every second Saturday of every month. I thank You, Lord, for the miracles and the healings You do during Your services. Lord, we come to You now asking You to forgive every one of us of sin. We forgive each other's sins, and so we know they're forgiven. And Lord, as people come forth to make decisions, whatever those decisions are, whatever need they have, as we pray for them, ask You to meet every need of every person today. And I know You will because You want to. We thank You, Father, for the privilege to serve You here. What a mighty God You are. Thank You, Lord, that You're my Savior, that I know You personally. And I know everyone in here thanks You the same way. We're grateful that You're our King. Now, Lord, thank You for this day and bless everything we do this week, that it all may be to the glory of God. Thank You, Lord.